You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game. On a beautiful European journey, and we now know the next destination for that. Yes, in this mini episode, it is just Peter and I on Zoom talking about the draw, which has now taken place this day as we speak, Friday. And we now know that we will be going to Roma for the last 16 game. An interesting scenario indeed. A team... very grand old club, storied club, maybe not in their best ebb at the moment, but that's not necessarily a bad thing for us, is it? Having said that, it could still be a tricky fixture. How are you feeling about it, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, it's just phenomenal, isn't it, really? I mean, I'll be honest, I was convinced when Marseille were pulled out that we were definitely going to get them.
That was
and when Villarreal came out, I think I was celebrating almost more than I did about the draw itself, but... yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, they only just scraped past Feyenoord last night, so they're definitely beatable. And Ali Reza Jahanbakhsh missed a penalty in the shootout to put them through. But I mean, yeah, the chance to go to the Olympic Stadium in Rome and watch Albion play is just something that, as with the other draws that we've had, it's something we never really thought was possible, and it's going to be sensational. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute banger.
And it's not long to wait either.
I know, this is the thing. I mean, we obviously knew about this well in advance that this was going to happen, but such a ridiculously tight turnaround because we had two legs last week and this week on Thursdays. So it's all unfolded last night as we're speaking. So we've only really known who the people who might draw might be last night. The draw was 11 o'clock this morning, UK time. A much more underwhelming affair compared with the group stage draw, actually. Fewer people there, less fuss, really. Still a bit of waffle, of course, but they had to string out a 25-minute broadcast, didn't they? I mean, it's as good a draw as any, I suppose, in some ways, in terms of it's quite an accessible place to get to. There's lots to do there for people that want to do things aside from the football itself.
Yeah, I've not been before, so I'm quite excited to see all the historic stuff. Shit, you know.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to
it. We're going from the centre of ancient Greece to the centre of ancient Rome.
Yeah, it feels quite appropriate, doesn't it?
Roman Empire. So, we're going from like the two big names in ancient empires. We're going to go and we're not getting the any of the others, though. That's it, I think. I'm not sure anyone like Villarreal or Bayer Leverkusen are a centre of any ancient empire.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting. In terms of the rest of the draw, before we get on to talk any more, anything else stand out for you there, Pete?
I think obviously it's like ones like Milan are quite strong favourite, Liverpool. The ones that stood out, Villarreal, Marseille could be quite an interesting one.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a pretty even one. I wouldn't like to care to bet on it. I think ours is potentially one of the most interesting. And there was another one that stood out. It was Atalanta against, and that's a weird night. Oh, and against Sporting Lisbon, I think it might be, or someone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting one. I mean, the other ones you'd fancy Benfica against Rangers, you'd fancy Milan against Prague, Leverkusen against Karabag, probably West Ham against Freiburg after they beat them twice in the group stage, and Liverpool against Sparta. So those five probably will be, you can see where they're going, but the other three could be very interesting.
Yeah, indeed. Last night's games, by the way, really exciting, some of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
Oh, yeah, definitely
Karabakh
wasn't
game.
cheering Freiburg on to their 3-2 win against Lens on aggregate. Oh, no, sorry, 3-2 win, but yeah, on aggregate as well as overall on the night. Because, yeah, Lens was just like going to be the typical. And then it became Marseille will be the typical one. And, yeah, we're always going to get someone like that. And then we didn't, so.
But I mean the things around Sparta, Karabag, Roma actually with their equaliser, which was sensational, and Galatasaray. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Lots of backwards and forwards, to and throwing. Couldn't really see how it was going to pan out. Just how you want the excitement from a neutral
Yeah.
point of view, and for us as well, temporary neutrals, I suppose. Albeit we had some wish lists.
Yeah, we had some definite teams we didn't want to go through. Seeing Galatasaray go out was quite good because it obviously is a bit of a it's partly this like the antagonization, not that I think Roma fans are pretty friendly, but the antagonization of the Turkish fans, but also Zaha element as well. So that'll be
Exactly. You just
interesting.
know what happened
I'm not
there.
sure I'm going to get my wish of being able to get the train to a game though, which is what I was hoping for. That I think probably we've got another place we're going to go to where the police will almost be more scary than the actual fans.
Yeah,
Italian
well,
police have a certain reputation, shall we say,
mind you,
when they're involved in
so do the
football.
fans. So do the fans. If you go, there's a
Yeah.
bridge, I think you all cross to go to the stadium from the centre, and they're notorious for kind of like slashing with razors the backs of legs and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if it still goes on, but that's how it
I
all started.
imagine we'll be taken in by coach anyway, so
Yeah,
I don't think there'll be
nonsense.
a. I don't see us being allowed to wander through Rome and
Yeah.
in the middle of the night. And I will go by coach even if it's quite early, because yeah, I think they might have a they've got a certain reputation, Roma.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we should
Good.
get our Lazio fans to defend us. They can come out and protect us.
Oh
Be like we were in Athens and all the Olympiakos and Panathinaikos fans were congratulating us on winning, and we're like loving it.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Well, yeah, I might get some free drinks off Lazio fans. Who knows? That
We
would
win.
be lovely. So, yeah, fantastic. Really can't wait. Looking forward to it. Good draw for me. I've not been to the city before. Wife's not interested in going, and she's been before. So that worked out well as in that point of view as well. And, yeah, hopefully, although I've had some stresses with travel plans, looks like something might be sorted now at a reasonable price, because it was getting
Yeah.
pretty stressful on that
Yeah,
side.
we've sorted. I think we've sorted everything now, so that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
All
Cool.
done. So that's a relief.
Superb. In terms of a few other bits to talk about quickly before we wrap up, and obviously, if you get any more thoughts on Europe, throw them in there, obviously, Pete. But I was going to say there's a few other bits that have happened which we didn't talk about on the last podcast. Unfortunately, we didn't see Worthing win, which is a shame. There's been a few things to talk about. I mean, first of all, I've just thought about one scenario talking about European affairs. Xabi Alonso, of course, everyone's assumed would be going to Liverpool. We've now found out that Thomas Tuchel is going to leave Bayern Munich at the end of this season. So a
There's a lot of
similar.
big clubs going being managers at the end of the season, aren't there?
Yeah. A similar announcement to the Klopp one as well, in terms of there's forewarning. And
Well, but barring the fact that I think he's actually not done a good job there, that's the big difference. Whereas
yeah.
Klopp's leaving,
True.
in potentially with the league title and other stuff,
Yeah.
Tuchel's leaving maybe without a trophy for Bayern,
Yeah.
which is unusual.
There is one worry from an Albion point of view, though, and that is that Bayern Munich want Alonso, and their agents have apparently been contacted and have suggested they will be conducive to the notion. Whether Alonso himself really wants to go there, especially with Liverpool being a prime obvious alternative that's already on the cards, is another matter. But if for any reason he did go to Bayern, obviously then Liverpool will be defaulting to their
Yeah.
second and third choices, and we all know what that might mean. So it's a little
Although I've
bit of
seen them
a
live with the sporting manager as well this week, so Amorim, or her name is. So I think my biggest shock this week, though, it wasn't about Tuchel. The biggest shock about Bayern this week was I read that Eric Dier might not be staying there because of concerns over his pace and ability.
Yeah, I know. How did that
I
happen?
just one of those signs I just don't understand. I mean, Tottenham didn't play him when they played at the Amex, even though they had no fit centre backs.
Yeah.
They had
And yet
no.
he's good enough
They
for the
would rather
German
play two
champions.
full backs at centre back than play Eric Dier. Yet Bayern Munich, who are trying to win the Champions League and Bundesliga, thought that he would be worthwhile taking on. I mean, it just Literally, they played no centre backs rather than play him.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense.
Yeah, it's absolute madness. It is quite amusing, isn't it? There's been a few odd ones like that that have come out recently. In other matters to do with the big clubs, I mean, we've also, so Jim Ratcliffe has now got this 25% share. That's now formally gone through. He's now starting to push some buttons and try and get stuff organised.
Mouthing off quite a lot as well.
He's mouthing off. He's been talking about Man United as being the most famous club and the most successful club in the world. I wouldn't say definitely.
As much as I hate Real Madrid, I think they're the most successful club in the world.
Yeah, and Liverpool are the most successful club in England, assuming a market on trophies.
He sounds like he fits United fan base very well, to be fair.
I mean, he wanted Sam Jewell, reputedly, and he's obviously after Ashworth as well. Ashworth's gone on gardening leave. Newcastle are grumpy about that.
A lot of gardening leave going around at the moment.
I know. I mean, it's too wet this time of year, isn't it, though? What can you really do?
Although, to be fair, it's not going to be short term, so they've got the whole summer as well.
Yeah, you can put in some spring plans, can't you, I suppose?
Although with the money they're probably getting paid while on gardening leave, they can probably afford to like pay a gardener quite a lot of money and not worry about it.
Yeah. Well, on the subject of gardening leave and pertaining to the Albion, again, not good news. It seems Sam Jewell has decided he's going to accept the Chelsea offer. He's now been placed on gardening leave himself, and he's outbound, which is irritating. It's irritating because of how quickly he's gone from getting into that key role. I know he's been a key figure in general before this, but he's, you know, in the head honcho role, so to speak. He's going so soon. It's irritating. It's irritating where he's going.
Chelsea just kind of collecting our head of recruitments. Is that kind of the thing? I mean, it just seemed. I mean, I understand that money talks and all that, but that club is just a mess, and I don't understand why any person with decent professional standards would actually want to move there. It's a joke club. I mean, they're already talking about selling Sanchez now, apparently.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, a lot.
So,
of
you know, that's going to go well.
Like I say,
and Mudryk as well, who apparently the coaching staff said was stupid or didn't have a footballing brain or something.
I mean, again, it's about due diligence. And okay, they can get paid people in that might be better suited to finding out who's got who's suitable in terms of playing staff. If you've got someone like Sam Jewell, maybe that'll work better. And it does show they're
looking. Your diligence, it'll be there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it shows they're looking to get into the South American market and maybe to tap up more talent at source, which is not really the big club's modus operandi. And
well, no, but their idea of doing that is spending 30 million on that Ecuadorian 15-year-old, where his name is Kendry Paz or something, like that. Their idea of doing that is not going out and buying Barco for 9 million from Boca or spending 5 million on Casado. It's spending 30 million on a 15, 16-year-old. That's their idea of the South American young players market.
Are they really going to give chances to people they've spent so little on? Or are they even going to be able to spend so little? Will there automatically be a bigger markup for Chelsea?
Yeah.
You know, it does seem that that's not their model.
It would be really funny if this all fell apart massively. I mean, I can't help feeling in the end they'll just like manage to find enough gems that they'll do okay. But if they all spectacularly fell apart, there was a report the other day that apparently if they get into Europe, they're screwed because the financial fair play in Europe is much stricter and that they wouldn't be able to get away with their con act, basically. And they'd actually fail financial fair play to get into Europe. So in a way, they want to lose the League Cup final this weekend, which is hilarious. Right. I mean, I really want them to lose anyway to keep the extra European spot open, because Liverpool obviously won't finish below us. But if they won, it would be a bonus to know that it might screw them financially. And
a good compensation, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it would be.
Maybe
funny.
They'll sell Colwill to us in the summer.
Yeah. Well, I know you said on unearthing some gems, and obviously they're a nice little unintended pun there, just Sam Jewell. But
it was completely intended. Yeah.
Are you disappointed with where he's chosen to go based on the fact that he's very likely to have had Man United come calling? I know there's no guarantee with that, which is admittedly slants the argument the other way. But yeah, you would have thought Man United or even other clubs, maybe.
And if Man U, he'd have had a better job as well. It sounds like he's got some sort of weird made up job whereby he's involved in the different teams in their various. I mean, that's not a job. He's like literally head of recruitment here. He's worked his way up. Yeah, I would have expected him to go to an equivalent job somewhere else at a bigger club.
Yeah.
If he's got head of recruitment at Chelsea, I could kind of forgive it. But yeah, the fact that he's gone for some sort of, basically he's gone for the money, and it's pretty pathetic, to be honest. I mean, that club is just a joke. Can they not do their own scouting? Do they have to just nick our scouts and our recruitment team? And all along, they don't know that the problem is that the actual algorithm can't be replicated anyway. So
Yeah, they're not wising up to this at all, are they? Which is quite astounding.
I mean, they're all they end up doing is nicking one or two short-term targets off us, like Fofana, who is now on loan at Burnley and not barely getting a game there. It's like, I mean, if he'd come to us, he'd have been so much better off, not financially, but generally. He'd have probably got chances with us. You know, Ferguson's been off form this year sometimes. Welbeck's been injured. He probably would have got a fair number of games this season. He may have got games last season as well when we were struggling with injuries. You know, and he's instead he's been loaned out initially by Chelsea, loaned out again this season to Burnley, isn't getting any game time, and he's basically kind of screwed his career up for a you know a lot of money early on. When actually, if he'd come to us, he'd have been a lot better off. And you know, more and more players are seeing that. You know, you see what Ibrahim Osman, his quotes online about how excited he is to come, and Brighton is seen as a a big kind of chance. And the comments from Barco about speaking to Bonanotte and how much he. You know, said about the club and also McAllister as well. And you know, these players see that we're the, you know, some clubs can say, well, we'll give you a chance for that, but we can prove it, and we can prove that we will let them go at the right price as well.
Yeah, our model is set up perfectly, and Chelsea are trying to replicate it. They're not that kind of club. They're a bigger
No, they're
club.
not. And their fan base is not that sort of fan base.
Exactly.
That's
And
the crucial thing.
that's the crucial thing, exactly. Yeah.
They don't want young players to be given a chance. They want to win things immediately.
Yeah, so
And
they
it's hilarious they're still below us at this minute in time. And they may not finish below us, but the fact that they brought in about, what, 12, 13 of our staff over the last year and a bit and spent like 225 million on it, and they're still below us is just
Their
genius, I
model
think.
always should be paying risk premiums so that they get the
Yeah.
finished product or thereabouts.
But they're doing that without the actual finished product. I mean, Mudryk, they paid an insane amount of money for a player who was coming from a
Brilliant.
Ukrainian league. Arsenal were being quoted about two-thirds of what they eventually paid.
Yeah.
They're paying these big premiums, but for players who aren't proven.
Yeah. It's madness, isn't it? You were speaking about Barco there. Of course, he has now arrived since we were last talking. I think he
Yes, there's
might.
rumours online that he's been very impressive so far and actually might be near the teams next couple of games.
Yeah, and I mean
Tomorrow were Wolves.
Valentin almost arrived on Valentine's Day, I think thereabouts, didn't he, as well, rather appropriately. I was listening to a podcast where Tim Vickery, World Football Phone-In, where Tim Vickery was talking about Barco. There's quite a bit of coverage on, I think it was the episode before last, and they were raving about him, saying a great player. And what he liked about him is that, well, he liked the fact that Brighton have bridged this gap where teams, sorry, players wouldn't come directly to English teams. They would go via Portugal,
Yeah,
obviously partly,
Netherlands sort of thing, and then they'd be
yeah.
very expensive afterwards.
Partly smooth that over by loaning back in some occasions, but in this case, he's coming directly over, which is an interesting change. And somehow we seem to have bridged that gap successfully. And he,
Enciso, Buonanotte,
yeah, and he was mentioning those players.
Casado, all of them, McAllister as well, via a loan spell. Right. They've all kind of, a couple of them have gone via loan spells, but they've all come over directly from South America.
And he was also saying that, and this is possibly already known by people, but it was Barco that was engineering the trigger to get the cheaper deal, because he wanted to come to Brighton. He said in the past teams wouldn't have heard of Brighton, or if they did, they wouldn't really know anything about them. But he specifically wanted to come to Brighton because he thought that was going to be his best, for want of a better word, expression, stepping stone club. He knew he could enjoy the Premier League, enjoy some good times, some good football, good coaches, even if
He'd
it's
be
a
given
different
time as well. There won't be the immediate pressure
time.
to do well.
And he will get game time, and he
Yeah.
knew all that. And because he wanted the move, he engineered the cheaper price that we got, which I think was 9 mil, wasn't it? And also, I think what Tim Vickery was suggesting is that what he's probably done is he said, look, I'll get you the cheaper rate by wanting out and triggering that cheaper arrangement, if you'll let me go to the Olympics, which of course he has done, and that's why the delay him coming back, which is an interesting and probably quite logical
Yeah.
suggestion of what's
But there was
happened.
a suggestion that he was pushing to try and Boca to try and take a slightly lower fee for him, but with set on so that he got. But it sounds like we basically just got a 9 million straight deal, so there's no set on. So we just get all the money if he goes for 40, 50, 60 in the future.
We've done
I
it
mean,
again,
yeah,
haven't we?
he sounds a very exciting prospect. Again, we've signed a load of young players in the window, but they all sound very, you know, talented and exciting.
Yeah, we've
Ibrahim
got
Osman.
the
I would have liked
guy.
a more experienced defensive midfielder, but, you know. It's just at the moment, just loving a ride, aren't you? It's that FA Cup fifth round, second round of your last 16 in Europe, still in the top half of the league. I mean, it's just insane. And players are coming back now. Hopefully, we won't lose too many more to injuries. And the second half of the season could be amazing. We've already got the 38 points that used to be a big thing for staying up, and now it's like we got in February, despite the worst injury hit season and Europe as well.
Yeah, no, none of us were even giving it that a second thought until somebody mentioned it as well. You know, it's not even a consideration
It used
nowadays.
to be the first few seasons, that was a huge moment. It was like, and I
Absolutely.
think even the second season, we didn't reach it. It was
Yeah.
just lucky that we stayed up. And then now it's like, well, just got 38 points before. We could have, if we were to win tomorrow, we'd have 40, over 40 points by the end of February.
As you
And in
said,
a
but
season where we've had extra European games and terrible injuries.
and I know we've all been moaning a little bit about what could have gone on in the transfer window, and maybe De Zerbi wasn't happy with that. But when all said and done, things are starting to come back to normality a little bit. We're starting to get some of
Yeah.
those
Although
players back
Mitoma's out tomorrow, which is a blow. Hopefully
again.
that's
Which is
not too
great.
serious. But
But we all,
Enciso back on the bench, which is huge. I mean,
yeah.
that game at Wolves, he hasn't played since then, obviously, but that game at Wolves, he was incredible. He
Yeah.
like set up two solid March goals and
And he's
was
back just in
brilliant. And
time to face Wolves again, which is great. But I'm getting those people back, and now you look at it, the transfer window, and you think, well, okay, we signed some for the future in January, and that's what we
yeah.
normally do. Now we can look at that with fondness a bit more, thinking, okay, well, they've got those guys in. We've got Osman in the summer that you mentioned just now earlier on.
You
And
consider what
also,
we thought of Ndinga was 6-7 million from them, and we're paying potentially about
yeah.
double that, more than double that
And I was
for
going to,
Osman. So,
on the feel good factor, I was going to mention Odinga, because not also we got 4 points against Palace, including giving them a resounding home thrashing, which was nice. But we've also got the other feel good factor of Odinga going to the
yeah.
African Cup of Nations and being a shining light in that competition, being a man of the match in the final, setting up a goal for the final, and then winning the tournament, and us being able to welcome back another winner, not World Cup this time, but a regional international
Yeah.
champion. It's just fantastic, superb. Lots of things to be happy
When
about.
Lewis Dunk scores the winner in the Euros final, then we'll have the next one.
Yeah. Well, there's people saying now,
João Pedro scores the winner in the Copa America.
yeah, all of that. But there are people talking about Lewis Dunk, and sort of pretty prominent journalists saying how they can't understand how Lewis Dunk hasn't been in the England
No,
team.
it's.
That's being mentioned more now. I don't know if Peter's like
The
hindsight
irony
going.
is we actually had a worse defensive record by far, I think, over the recent years this season because of the way we play and all that. But
Yeah.
he and Van Hekker have still stood out massively.
Yeah,
They've still
because
been
they're
very
still good
energetic.
defenders. It's just the
Yeah.
system doesn't allow for as many
I
clean
see
sheets.
Palace talk about like Anderson and Gueye, but the fact is they have a team that sits deep and defend deep. And I don't mind Gueye getting ahead of Dunk because he's much younger. I get that now. I mean, Southgate should have given a lot more caps over the last 5 years. When he wasn't like 31, 32 sort of thing. But I get why they'd rather play Gueye now over Dunk when, he's 22 or something like that and Dunk's 31. But it's more that he should have played more over the last 4 or 5 years that is the issue with me. And I think he'll probably be in the squad. I mean, similarly, Pascal Grosch is like, suddenly got into the German squad.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's
So
pretty, pretty likely to make the Euros.
that's our new specialism, getting our players into international squads in the latter day part of their career seems to be
Welbeck
our
and
new
Lallana are getting
specialism.
called up again to the England squad. They're making a return to England for the Euros.
Maybe, maybe not. Yes, I'm not so sure about that one, but it
What
is
about
good.
Milner?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, Lewis Dunk, I mean, that would be brilliant if he is in the England squad. As far as Gueye goes, do you see that thing? There's some Palace fan on Twitter talking about how, oh, you wouldn't see none of the
Yeah.
big clubs are coming in for Lewis Dunk the way that there's a couple of people linked with Gueye. I think it's Liverpool and Man U, is it, or somebody? And he goes, oh, you wouldn't see that happening. And then I think it's Scott, isn't it, from We Are Brighton? Somebody put a reply up just with showing loads and loads of different links, that with Dunk's been linked with Chelsea and Liverpool, Man United and Tottenham and all those clubs in the past. So yeah, that doesn't hold water anyway. But
They're
happy
getting
days.
excited now. Their new manager's coming. And I give it like 6 months, and he'll be like kind of thrown out because it's and Hodgson will be back in position.
Yeah, we kind of got rid of Hodgson, didn't we? I mean, I know he lasted for another match, sort of, but he was in hospital anyway for that. But I think we were the final death knell there, weren't we? Again, which is great. Same with Vieira.
They
And
just couldn't admit it by actually sacking him after playing us.
it's annoying Luton couldn't get a result against Man United, to be honest, and
Yeah,
for
I mean, I think Palace will be okay anyway. They've got Burnley and Luton at home next 2 games, and they'll probably get at least 4 points from that, and that'll pull them away.
I've
And
got
that's annoying.
Oliver
They're
Grouse.
lucky that there are two dreadful teams and one very, very cheaply put together team, which means they're going to be inconsistent. And then Everton and Forest potentially as well, having points deductions. They picked a good season to be dreadful. I
Yeah.
think they're lucky. The hope is that if they have to sell one or two like Gueye and Elise in the summer, that they replace them badly and then.
We don't know much about, I mean, Oliver Graschner, the German who's come in, who was going to come in the summer, it's been brought forward. I mean, he's done quite well. I think it's Wolfsburg and Stuttgart, is it? He was out
there. Eintracht Frankfurt, he won the Europa League.
Yeah. So he's done well. He's potentially good. Apparently,
it's a different thing in a Premier League. So who knows how he'll do, you know? And they're not good at giving people time. I mean, Vieira had a bad patch and they got rid of him pretty quickly. De Boer had six games in charge, whatever, you know, it's always a risk when you bring someone in. They could be in the new De Zerbi who does brilliantly for them.
Exactly.
You know, according to Palace fans, their squad's pretty much the best in the league anyway. So you know, if they get a good manager, they're pretty much going to guarantee to win the title, I think.
Well, the reality is he plays an attacking brand of football, according to Gaye, who was interviewed the other day, which is always
good. They don't have a squad for that. They have a squad for the counter-attack.
Let's look at Burnley, you know, for an example. Yeah. Admirable to try and do it, but
they've got a significantly better squad than Burnley, in fairness. And it's not, I think that's probably not going to work out in that comparison, but I think it's more that their squad is set up to counter attack, so they're going to have to probably sell one or two key players to then bring in the players that he needs. And then it's a question of do they get the right ones, you know?
Yeah,
they've got no depth in that squad. You know, they were moaning about how many injuries they had, they're about four or five, and we've had 10 on average probably for the last 6 months. And we've still done better than they have, you know. So it's like, well,
exactly. Some players we've got on loan have been doing quite well, by the way. Mark Leonard scored another really good goal the other day. There's got a couple of players are doing well. I think Ed Turn's got a goal at one point. They've all been doing well. An ex-member of staff, Polly Bancroft, who I think we had on this podcast, didn't we, if I'm not mistaken, who went over to Man United to be head of football there. She's announced that she's leaving at the end of the season. She's going to become the chief executive for Grimsby Town FC, as in, you know, the men's operation, which is an interesting crossover there. Came across pretty well when we spoke to her, and she's pretty good at her job. It's a shame we lost her to Man U, but it's also a shame that she's ended up there. Would have liked to have seen her for over a longer period. Maybe that could have made a difference to the women's team. It's hard to say.
Joey Barton will be pleased, won't he?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure.
So another benefit of the appointment.
Yeah. Well, one other thing, just mentioning from yesterday, it wasn't all just about the Europa League. It was also about The Apprentice with Phil Turner, one of three Turner Pies, still in there despite a fourth successive defeat in his team.
Don't tell me what happened. I've not watched The Apprentice yesterday.
Ah, shit. Well, he's still in. Yeah, so it's... But I celebrated. I went down to see my parents at yesterday during the day. So I went to the Rustington branch of Turner Pies, which I've not been to before. Had a really good chat with the guys in there. Really nice bunch, actually. And they were talking about him. He's one of three brothers, isn't he? That the kind of the grandchildren of the original founder of the company. Really good pies. And I thought, you know what? I'll bring a Turner's pie home, some Scotch eggs and sausage rolls to have at some point. We had the Turner pie last night while watching The Apprentice. What better way to live?
What irony.
Yeah. Well, sort of. It's enforced, though. It was a deliberate ploy. So I don't know if you can call it ironic. Final thing for me, Peter, if you've got anything more on the Europa, obviously throw it in.
I have a comment that I had from Fee earlier asking me how many times I'm going to say when in Rome, when we're in Rome. And I think it's going to be countless. Probably the answer.
You're not one for a crap pun at all. So
no, I'm not. Yeah, no, I only make the best puns, to be honest.
Over and over. I might just say, what are the Womans ever done for us quite a few times? actually, Peter, what
sewage systems, you know?
Yeah,
apart from the Judean People's Front, and I'm gonna stand by them and like fight them when I go to the Colosseum.
Should we get T-shirts made up? One of them's got Judean People's Front, the other one's got People's Front.
And what's the other one? There was like another one as well, and they were like, "Oh, that's him over there." Wasn't
it? Oh, magnificent! Yeah, yeah. I wonder if anyone would actually get those jokes amongst the locals.
I'll just be like, "What the hell, mate? Just shut up."
No, I think these puns are terrible. In fact, I'd probably award them blue cards. That's my final subject I wanted to talk about very quickly. This whole thing about blue cards that's been suggested, it's all to do with sin bins, basically, having what was being described as an orange card offence. They're now calling a blue card offence. They're planning to bring in a blue card system to give sin bins.
Isn't that like a visa in America or something?
Yeah, exactly. What's green cards?
Was that a green card? Yeah. They can bring them in. You have to like reapply to go back on the pitch.
I mean, this has worked fairly well in amateur football.
You've got to promise to behave well in future if you want to go back on the pitch.
this has worked fairly well in amateur football. And the final season where I was coaching at Sunday League for, men's team, they did introduce it, and it's been working well in grassroots level, which is fine, and that makes sense because I think it does work at that level. When you're getting into the professional ranks, it is a crazy idea because, again, quoting Tim Vickery again, actually, he was talking about how, well, there's just going to be shenanigans going on. As soon as there's a 10-minute period or whatever it's going to be, the teams have a way of winding down the clock. They will just burn out that time, and they'll just be...
Well, Marston will just stand with the ball over the ball over goal kick, and they'll just get the whole 10 minutes let off for it.
Yeah, I mean, people have said, oh, what happens if a goalkeeper's sin bin? Well, obviously, you put an outfield player in for the period. That's not really an issue, actually, as far as I'm concerned. But the issue is, I just don't think it's necessary. It's another way of refs potentially getting things wrong, definitely of complicating the game. I don't see where it's going to work well. And it's been universally panned by all of the...
I have thought there is a use for it, because I think it does work well in rugby, for example. But I think there are offences whereby, for example, there's someone breaking on a halfway line and there's one or two defenders around, so it's not a red card. But actually, you just take the foul, and actually, there is it actually would punish someone. That isn't actually a bad idea. However, they don't have a fucking idea about the rules at the moment anyway. So why add more rules to make it more complicated?
Sort the ones out you're getting wrong first, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think the one thing I am pleased with is that they're potentially doing VAR on second yellows next year. Which I think is a no-brainer. I don't understand why they've not done that straight away. It's the second yellow has the same impact on the game as a straight red. Why are they not VAR in that as well?
It is no-brainer. There's absolutely no reason not to do that. And it's frustrating.
But obviously, you can't do all yellows. That would be ridiculous. But to have a second yellow, if you're unlucky with the first yellow and then you commit a silly foul, that's stupid. Then that's your problem. But if you genuinely don't touch the player, or it's like he dives or you get the ball, then you shouldn't be sent off. And it doesn't matter whether it's a straight red or a second yellow.
No, exactly. That's right. And obviously there's bits with VAR to sort out. I do think a clock stopping scenario might be an answer. But also,
I think that 35 minute halves or whatever with the clock stopping is actually a way forward.
Yeah.
You're never going to play 45 minutes of actual football because we'd be there all day.
Do that. 90 seconds maximum for consideration of VAR, and don't overthink it, and have automated offside. So it doesn't matter what the rule is. You've got a hard rule that will just work for everyone, and there's no controversy in terms of what decisions you're making, because it's telling you, like, call that off, call that on.
I don't advocate VAR, I think last Sunday was a perfect example of how it should work.
Yeah.
Referee couldn't see the foul very well. I'm not even sure he actually gave the free kick. I think the linesman gave a free kick. Then said book him. He may not have had the perfect view either. And then within about 20 seconds, they went, you need to look at this again.
I mean, that was one of those more complicated ones. It's not quite like that game where there was three incidents in the Arsenal match. But
it's not complicated.
Yeah. I mean, that's one where you can see it in the end. It just take two, three
But that's what VAR's there for, because he'd have got away with it 5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Literally, Holgate would have been yellow carded and got away with it, and it wouldn't have been banned afterwards because the referee saw it, so he got a yellow card. So he wouldn't have even been banned up the 3-match ban afterwards.
Not under the old rules, no. Yeah. I don't know if they still do. I presume they don't have that. They haven't reintroduced that, I wouldn't think, because VAR is another.
VAR would say. But I mean, for what was probably the worst tackle I've seen in years, he would have got away with 5 years ago. I'm not advocating VAR. I think it's been handled badly generally. I think actually Europa League has shown how it can be done. The way it's been done generally this season in the Europa League has been a lot better. It's just that for some reason Premier League, which is the richest league in the world, can't get it right.
Yeah. Anyway,
Germany and Holland Netherlands have both done VAR well. Other countries done it well. I don't understand why the league with the most money by a distance can't get it right, and it's.
Anyway, it's on to Europa League, obviously coming up soon. In terms of that, I mean, it's going to be tough to get any much further than this. Roma, we might be able to beat them, but it did remind me of the draw of how tough the other half of the draw is.
Yeah.
When you look at Liverpool, you looked at what Leverkusen have been doing, and then obviously you've got fiddly teams like West Ham and clubs like that in there. I forgot there was another Prague team in as well. Slavia are still in.
Yeah, they were the ones who finished above Roma.
Yeah. So there's, there are.
It shows how strong the Europa League is, that only two, I think, Champions League teams got through.
Yeah. And exactly.
Milan and Benfica were the only two, I think. And Benfica were We're quite lucky. I mean, Toulouse, I saw that game last night, and Toulouse had a lot of chances to get back into that game and win it.
Yeah, it really was a close one. And at the conference, of course, our former opponents, Ajax, are now up against Villa. Tough game for them. Very tough game for them. I don't see them beating Villa, to be
No,
honest.
I
But it's
don't
a
see them
Billy
beating
game
Villa
for
either.
Villa as well. Yeah. But
It's
yeah.
probably about the one of the toughest ones Villa could have got, in a sense that Ajax are better than they were when we played them. But yeah, I think Villa will win that quite comfortably still. Alkmaar, I think, were second in the table, I think it was in at that at the moment, or when they played them, and they beat them comprehensively both times, I think. So I don't see them slipping up there. I think given the results last night, Eintracht Frankfurt went out and someone else quite big went out as well. I think Villa are strong favourites for that tournament.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. As for us, our next opponents, we've got three games coming up before the Europa League match. We have, of course, tomorrow, as we're speaking, that's Saturday, the Everton home game. We've then got Wolves in the Cup on Wednesday.
Oh yeah,
Is it
Real Betis was the other one I was surprised about. They're out as
Betis?
well.
Yeah. So yeah, so we've got Everton, we've got Wolves away, another tough match there, actually. That's going to be a tricky one. And
Yeah, I
then we've
don't fancy our chances there given the games we've got.
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got Fulham away. In terms of the Everton game, I'm not actually going to make it down now. I've had to, a mixture of budgetary reasons, major train hassles, including up my end as well as down there, and various other reasons besides, I'm not able to make the game. And the fact that I've got a chronic allergy to dice ball is another reason why I'm quite happy to miss it. Hopefully, I will be wrong to be happy to miss it because I'm hoping we can get a result. We haven't got a good record against dice. Last season, there was a pretty unpleasant experience at the Amex against them. How do you see it
We've
going?
not beaten Dyche at home in the Premier League, and we've not beaten Fulham at all in the Premier League.
Yeah. We mentioned it before, but those really are two fiddly games coming up, aren't they? And on top of which, we've got to deal with Wolves in the middle of it all as well. So,
Yeah, Wolves are arguably the form team in the. Although that'll change this weekend because I predicted them. So,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. And this is the tough period again in terms of the fixture congestion. We're just coming into it now, aren't we? As from this moment on, we've got weekend, midweek, weekend, midweek, weekend, midweek, I think, haven't we? And then
Yeah,
there's
and then yeah, it's if we lose to Wolves and City win, we might get a week. We get a weekend at the end before international break off. But if
Oh,
we
yeah.
either both us and City lose, or we win against Wolves, we have a cup game. So it's
So we could have
yeah,
two weekends
seven
off.
games in 22 days, I think, if we beat Wolves.
Yeah. So fingers crossed, people that are coming back can stay back. The modders, the Purvises, the now Assisos, as you've just
Harry.
mentioned.
He's
And
actually shown some real form recently, whereas he's struggled a bit. And they're saying he started three games in a row for the first league games in a row for the first time in ages.
yeah. And as far as Mittema goes, what I haven't picked up on that. What was the
The
reason?
back injury apparently doesn't say more. Was struggling with it already before the game last weekend, apparently, as well.
Those sort
So,
of things
but then
could be minor.
Enciso will be on the subs bench tomorrow, which
Yeah,
is amazing.
wonderful. I mean, he's just the kind of guy to unlock the sorts of defenses that we're going to be coming
Well,
up
yeah,
against.
he's just happy to take shots. He's got a really good shot from long range, and that's the sort of thing you need when your team is playing a mass defence and you don't really have, you can't break them down, the way we normally play. He's happy to
Yeah.
take a pot shot, can take a deflection, it could, fly in anyway. And he's been missed hugely. He was brilliant at the end of last season. Started this season superbly with a couple of assists at Wolves, and then, when you look back to that game and Mittema, who scored the first goal, basically a solo goal. Has hardly featured over the last few months. Estupiñán scored the second. He has been out for quite a long time. And then Enciso set up Martins, the other two, and they've both been out for a long time, and Martins
Yeah.
will continue to be.
No wonder
It
we didn't
shows
beat.
how unlucky we've been with injuries.
Yeah, it shows. And I wonder why we didn't beat Wolves in the return game at the Amex.
Oh, we
None
had
of
no
us.
wingers, did we? It was like literally like the most, yeah, we.
Yeah.
I mean, I
And
was
yeah.
glad of that, to be honest. I only watched it on TV, but I was glad to take a point from that. They looked a lot more dangerous.
Yeah. And see, so has only scored four goals in the Premier League so far, but I think the fact is it's the type of goals he has scored.
But also, there were the last 2 months of last season. He didn't really get a place until
Yeah.
that spell. Then he had two games this season with two assists, and then hadn't played since. So, it's he was really key in that run in. When other players got injured or had knocks or struggled a bit or knackered, he came in and really stepped up. And
Yeah. So fingers crossed for tomorrow and for the other games. And we'll be back with our next one. It won't be a match day special because I'm not down there, but we'll maybe do a review next week or possibly
yeah.
something related to the
Maybe a
Wolves
match
game.
day special next Saturday at Fulham.
Yeah, well, you're going to that as well, aren't you? Same as
Yeah.
me.
Yeah,
Yeah, wait.
I haven't been for I missed the last two because of COVID and because of I think we were supposed to be going away the week of the last time we played them. So the last time I went there was the horrendous one where we were two up at half time and lost 4-2, which was not a fun evening.
Not ideal. No, exactly.
So I'm
I mean,
hoping for a lot better this time.
maybe meet up with Emilio, our Fulham supporting friend. Maybe, I don't know. We've not
He
met him
might
yet.
not be a friend afterwards.
Do it beforehand then. Anyway, Peter, that's been great. So thank you for joining me. So it's Roma. We've got that to look forward to, and let's hope we can get some decent results in the meantime as well. So until next time, Peter, stand or fall.
Up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.